could make up three columns, divide that sheet into three columns, the length of the sheet there. And then you can, across the top, you can write the word book or reference. That would be a good word to use, reference. And then the middle column, you'll write the word author. And then over on the far right, you will write the word section. And I'll explain what I mean by the section as we go through this. Tonight is going to be a message that's somewhat like a message straight from the concordance of your Bible. And perhaps you don't often do this, and I can't say that I'd ever done this before tonight, but it really helped me in study on this matter of theistic evolution. Theistic evolution. So there are those that want to blend. Yes, God created everything, but he used evolutionary processes to accomplish that. Well, you have two things that are diametrically opposed to one another. God said that he created man in the garden, and as a result of man's sin, you then have death. So the process is man, sin, and then death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So before man sinned, you had no death, you had no decay, you had no animals that were dying, no plants that were dying, everything was perfect there in the garden. So God said, according to the book of Genesis, it's a process of creation, man, sin, and then death. Evolution says that we all arrived here as human beings on a long list of death, or a mountain of death. And it's step upon step upon step upon step. And all these items died in order to reach you and I. And so things are evolving, and we've evolved out of lesser creatures. We've come to this, and so evolution teaches that it's death upon death upon death until you reach what would be, of course, mankind. And I want us to be very certain and very clear about this. And I say that this is kind of a concordance message because in your left-hand column, I'm going to give you a reference. In the center column, we're going to discuss the author, and then we're going to put it into a section of the Bible. And perhaps there are some tonight that didn't know that the Bible's divided up into sections, and so I want to help you. And then in the end, we'll have a kind of a culminating slide that I believe demonstrates to us that, in fact, God made it all. So we begin tonight with two important verses. You don't have to write these necessarily there on your columns yet, but I believe that you and I must either trust what the Bible says here, or we might as well just throw the whole Bible out. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Let's be very clear. Man is finite. Man has a date on which he is born, and man has an appointment with death. And whatever he thinks in that time period is his own greatness or his own wisdom, it's still limited. God has no beginning and God has no ending. And so when you and I are confronted with the influencers in the world today, whether they be PhDs and men or women full of scholarship, and they tell us over and over again that we were once an ooze that became a goo that went to the zoo that then became you. When they tell us that, we must keep in perspective that they had a born date and they have a date with, or a destiny with death. They're not infinite. God is infinite in his wisdom. He's infinite in every aspect. He has no beginning. He has no ending, so he knows it all. We go to Titus chapter 1 and verse number 3, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie," he cannot lie, This doesn't even touch the hem of the garment on the volume of verses that are related to the Word of God being truthful and Almighty God being full of truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wouldn't it be nice if we knew complete truth in the world today? So it would immediately change the nature of criminal trials. If the criminal merely got up and said, yes, I did it, I'm guilty. Oh, yes, Pastor, but you know, the amendment of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, I know all that. But wouldn't it be nice if everybody just immediately admitted, I'm guilty, I did it, I need to go to jail. Well, the truth is, God is not the equivalent of man. God cannot lie. He is full of truth. In him there is no error. Do you believe that tonight? I've said this to you before. If we cannot trust Genesis 1:1, we cannot trust John 3:16. So let's go through this tonight. Like I said, this is kind of a concordance message. You say, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, I'm not sharing anything with you tonight that with a little bit of time and effort and research you couldn't find yourself, but I've kind of put it all together on this, and I will fill out these columns, and I hope this will be a help to you. We ask ourselves this question: God made it all. It's what I'm presenting to you. It's what he tells us in his word. And we begin with Genesis 1:1. Did he use any aspect of an evolutionary process to create the world? Well, let's go through the word of God and let's see what the Bible says in total. 66 books of the Bible. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Genesis 1:1 right here. Now again, I want you to consider the preponderance of the evidence. Where does the evidence go with this matter of long days, millenniums, evolutionary processes, all those kinds of things? What does the Bible say about creation? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So in your left column, you're going to write Genesis 1:1. In your middle column, you're going to write the author's name. Who's the author of Genesis 1:1? Who is it? Moses. That's exactly right. Was Moses there in Genesis 1:1? No, he wasn't. Good. I'm glad. He wasn't born till Exodus 1, all right? But Moses writes a series of five books, okay? Some of you will know this word. Some of you may not know this word. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy make up the third column, the Pentateuch. All right? So this is one section of the Bible. So Moses writes the first five books of the Bible, and for the better part of the years in those first five books, Moses wasn't even alive. So if he's going to record these things, he's going to have to record it from the first-hand account of someone that was there. And the one that was there was Almighty God. Almighty God says to Moses, write this. And Moses writes, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So your first reference, Genesis 1:1. And by the way, there's about 25 or 26 of these, so don't write big. Okay? All right? Genesis 1:1, Moses is the author. It's in the Pentateuch. We go to the next one. Genesis 1:27. You can use your Bible there in front of you if you would like, or it's there on the board if it's not too small, all right? Genesis 1:27, so you're going to write that down in your left-hand column, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he man. Male and female created he them. Isn't it interesting that the word create is used three times in that one verse? Genesis 1:27, the author Moses, again found in the Pentateuch. I inserted this statement. It's impossible to read Genesis chapter 1 and not see the direct act of God. It's impossible to read that first chapter and not see every single direct act of God. God said it. It occurred, it came into being. God is directly involved with each of these days of creation. All right, let's go to the next one. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 4. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. Now listen to these next words. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Again, Genesis 2, 4, Moses is the author. This is in the Pentateuch. All right, let's move to another section now, or another book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 as an example for us. As an example for us in the Ten Commandments. God said here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 11, For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So here's your example. You have your reference, Exodus 20:11. Moses, again, is the author. We're still in the section called the Pentateuch. Here's your example. Human beings, you work 6 days and you take a day off, a day of rest. What is our illustration of that? Where would we have seen that kind of a thing play out? In the days of creation. I would like to take a millennium off, right? Is that what you guys would agree with? Just take a millennium off from work, all right? But the days of creation were not millennium. It was a 24-hour period of time, light and darkness. It was the equivalent of one day. He called the day and the night day one, day and night day two. And walking down through that, we have the illustration used here. 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Okay, not long periods of time, not through evolutionary processes. Again, reference Moses and Pentateuch. Let's go to the next one. Job. Job is actually the oldest book in the Bible. We don't often think that way because of how far into the Word of God it is, but it was the first book written. And some of you that have studied the Word of God chronologically, if you get a hold of a copy of the chronological Bible or use a chronological format for your daily devotions, you'll see that it begins with everything that it says in Genesis, and then it will go very quickly to the matter of Job. Job 38 in verse number 4, look what the Bible says. So who is speaking here? This is Almighty God, and he's having a conversation with Job. The Bible says in Job 38 in verse number 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. So this is a question from God, a rhetorical question. Job, and this is basically a question you can ask the other finite people that would speak on the matter of creation or evolution. Were you there? God said, this is what happened. I was there. And he challenges this matter of Job's thinking and says, Job, were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Job 38, verse number 4. You write that reference. Again, the author is Job. And then this is often in the poetical books, or it's all, there's some historical aspect to it. So history or poetry there for the book of Job as far as the section of the Bible in which it is found. Job 38, verse number 4. Now, the next one, Psalm 8. Psalm 8 and verse number 3. Psalm 8, 3, the Bible says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Verse number 5, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. This comes to us from Psalm 8, verses 3 and following. This is written by, and again, my Bible demonstrates this is one of David's psalms, so you can write as the author David, or you have the passage, Psalm 8, 3 and following, and then the author's David, and then again, the poetical books. The poetical books. Let's go to another psalm. Psalm 33 and verse number 6. Psalm 33 and verse number 6. The psalmist here says, Psalm 33, 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Not sure exactly who wrote this psalm, but it is in the poetical section. Again, Psalm 33, 6. Psalm 33, 6. Let's go to the next one. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 29. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 29. Proverbs 8, 29. When he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth. So again, speaking of God, he established the clouds above, verse number 28, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep. All these things are related to the creative work of God. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 29, and you can write in there, Proverbs 8, 29, Solomon, and then the poetical books, okay? Let's go to the next one. This is Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse number 24. Isaiah 44, 24. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Isaiah 44, verse 24. Isaiah is the author, and this is in the major prophets. It's a section called the major prophets. There are four major prophets. It's not determined by the length of their book, but it's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. They're known as the major prophets. And right here, Isaiah speaks of the creative work of God. Let's go to the next one. Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse number 5. Verse number 15. Jeremiah 51, verse 15. Jeremiah 51, 15. There's your reference. The author is Jeremiah. Again, major prophets is the section. The Bible says, he hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heaven by his understanding. It covers all different aspects of the creative work. He made the earth by his power, established the world by his wisdom, stretched out the heaven by his understanding. So, Jeremiah 51:15, Jeremiah is the author. And then it's in the major prophets there. Let's go to the next one. This is a few books away and takes a little bit longer to find. It's in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12. And you can look at verse number 1. Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 1. So write your reference, Zechariah 12, 1. Your author is Zechariah, and this is the section called the minor prophets. There's quite a few minor prophets. They take off after Daniel, and again, it's not major or minor because the minor guys were hoping to turn pro one day, okay? It's not that way. It's just minor in their length of their book, in the time period of their prophetic investment, something along those lines, all right? Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 1. Listen to this verse. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel saith, the Lord which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. So Zechariah 12:1, Zechariah is the author, And it's here in the Minor Prophets. All right, let's go to the New Testament. Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew chapter 19. And this is the Lord himself speaking. Matthew chapter 19. There's a conversation that Pharisees are seeking to tempt Jesus on the issue of marriage. And it's interesting because he goes all the way back to the very beginning. Matthew chapter 19, verse number 4, there's your reference. Matthew 19, 4, the author is Matthew, and the section of this is called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we're in the Gospels now, Matthew chapter 19, verse number 4, and he answered and said unto them, this is Jesus' answer, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? There's a couple of things that are tied together, okay? His creative work, he made them. What's the timing of making them? It's at the beginning. It's not that there's been all this creative work and then, oh, by the way, millions of years later, I'm going to put two human beings on the earth as well. No, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was there at this time. The Bible says that the eternal Godhead declared, let us make man in our image. Jesus Christ is, of course, God incarnate. Matthew 19:4. Matthew is the author, and this is the section called the Gospels. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. The reference is Mark chapter 10 and verse number 6. There's your reference. Mark chapter 10, verse number 6. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. It's the same story as what we have in Matthew chapter 19. Mark's gospel was the record passed on through the Apostle Peter. I've said this to you before, and you would recall from maybe past messages, the gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 10, verse number 6, the author of that book is John Mark. The author is John Mark. We see Mark chapter 10, verse number 6. John Mark primarily recorded the eyewitness accounts under the inspiration of God of the Apostle Peter. And so we have this gospel. The primary word in the gospel of Mark is the conjunction and. They don't let any time grow under the statements that are made. Mark is writing and recording under the inspiration of God everything that he's given as an account from the Apostle Peter. And the Bible says, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And so again, we tie together the beginning, the creation, and man. They're all there in that one creative work. Matthew chapter 10. Verse number 6, the author is John Mark, again here in the Gospels. Now, famous verse. John chapter 1 and verse number 3. John chapter 1 and verse number 3. I love this. We really don't need to use any other verses but this one. But this is John chapter 1, verse number 3. This is written by the Apostle John. This, of course, is the fourth of the Gospels. John's gospel is not one of the synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they see the life of Christ in unison. The gospel of John, he's not presenting Jesus Christ as a king, a servant, or the Son of Man. He's presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as God. And so there's no record of the Lord's birth in the gospel, John. It starts with eternity past. Verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. False translations of the Bible that have been created by cults say here that the Word was a God. It was not a God, it was the God. In the beginning, God, okay? Genesis 1:1. The fact that God became flesh is the John 1:1 theme. Demonstrating to us God took upon flesh. What would it be like if deity walked in flesh? We know. We know what it would be like because we have four gospels that tell the story of what it was like. But here's what John 1:3 says. All things, now that's pretty Pretty involved, isn't it? All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. I don't think we need to say more, but John 1:3, written by the Apostle John, again, the fourth of the Gospels. Let's go to the next one, Acts. Acts chapter 14. Sometimes this trips people up. It tripped me up in children's church decades ago here with the bus ministry in our children's church, and I told everybody that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Acts. That would have been a neat trick. The Apostle Paul did not write the book of Acts, all right? Acts chapter 14 and verse number 15. The book is written by who? Good, I'm glad you know. Luke. All right, Luke is the author. Luke chapter 1, he says, I'm going to tell you, Theophilus, this story. And then we come back to Theophilus in the beginning of Acts, and he gives a companion volume to what he said in his gospel. So Luke not only records the life and ministry of Christ, but then he records the Acts of the first church there as it continued after Christ. Luke writes this, write your reference, Acts chapter 14, verse number 15. The author is Luke. Verse number 15, the Bible says, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. Here's the description of that living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Now the book of Acts has its own category here in the books of the Bible. It's the Acts of the first church. So it's kind of it's the history in the New Testament, if you would. There's historical books in the Old Testament. This is the Acts of the first church after Christ ascended. And it is written by Luke, Acts chapter 14, verse number 15. All right, now let's move into another category. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. Hopefully you're not out of room yet, all right? You got a backside, so you're good to go. Okay. All right, you've got a backside to that sheet of paper. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Here's what the Bible says. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Speaking of the creative work of God and how we can look to a master designer because of what we see on a daily basis. I tell you what, we have a little bit of a hill on the back of our property, and you can kind of walk up and sit up on that hill, and I do sit out there often and just throw the frisbee with our dog and just enjoy creation. But I tell you, when the sun is setting, it's a little bit of a hill, and it's high enough to be over top of the other houses that are in close proximity to us. So you watch that sun set over the trees and over the tops of houses, and I'm telling you, there is majesty every single day. There's majesty all around us. And God made it very clear here in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. This book is written by Paul, and it's in the section called the Epistles. If you're taking the notes, Romans 1:20, written by Paul to the Romans, it's an epistle, and he speaks to the majesty of Almighty God in creation and how you and I can have knowledge of the unknown because of what we see in the known. I look all around and I say, man, that is awesome. I've said this to you before, but I'm a watch guy. I'm never going to be in the mold to wear an electronic watch because you're limited to that one watch. I just love watches. When I was in college, I worked at Haywood Mall at a place called It's About Time. And ever since I worked selling watches, I just love watches. not, and I'm fascinated, and I like certain styles and looks and everything like this, and I've never one time gone to a watch store and thought to myself, man, that must have been amazing when that watch magically appeared. No, I understand that whether it's Swiss movement or Japanese movement, whether it's an automatic or whether it's even a high dollar, hundreds of thousands of dollar watch, I understand that behind that, someone took very small tools and very good magnifying glasses and assembled and orchestrated something that would tick on time. I've never thought to myself, man, that must have just magically appeared and assembled on its own through an explosion of an M80 or a bottle rocket or something like that. No, that kind of precision takes a master designer. If the precision in a watch takes a master designer, what did it take to create this globe? And we understand the master precision because there's summer, fall, winter, and spring every year. How can there be a farmer's almanac if there's not a sequence to everything that rotates around the sun or rotates around the sun and everything that we have here on the earth? How could they ever make tell us of the El Niños and the La Niñas and all the things that are in the weather patterns and all these kinds of things? The only way that all of that is possible is because a master designer has this operating in a very specific way. And I'm amazed at how people don't see the great creator in creation. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. This is written by the Apostle Paul. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 16. This is written by the Apostle Paul. It's written to Colossae. And it is again in the section of the epistles. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Again, when you add that little word all in there, it's all or it's nothing. But the truth of the matter is that God made it all. Colossians, written by the Apostle Paul, again here in the epistles. Let's go to the next one, Hebrews. It's not my purpose tonight to solve the eternal question of who wrote the book of Hebrews, okay? So there, if you're not familiar with this, there are different theories as to who wrote the book of Hebrews. So we're going to give you the reference, and then you can put down in the center column whoever you think wrote it. Some think Paul, some think Apollos. I don't know that I have a staunch opinion. I think probably the best explanations that I've heard is that probably Paul wrote it. But Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, if you come to me afterwards and you're just furious because you think it was Apollos, okay, all right, we'll get to heaven, we'll deal with it then. Hebrews chapter 1, look at verses 1 and 2. We listed them out there. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Again, a reference much like the reference that we just saw in Colossians and the creative work of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 4. He says here, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. What is it? It's clearly alluding to what? The days of creation. God created on 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 4. the recipients of the book of Hebrews all understood what he was saying too. They're not thinking to themselves, oh yes, God, millions and millions of years, the process of death after death after death. No, they understood that God created everything 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. One more in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So again, we see in these epistles a very similar theme. God made it all. The invisible speaks from that which is visible, and we understand these things. These are all from the epistles. Let's do one more book of the Bible. Go all the way to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. This is written by the Apostle John. He wrote 5 books of the Bible. He wrote his gospel. He wrote 3 epistles. And then he writes the Revelation. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11. Revelation 4:11, written by the Apostle John, and this is a prophetic book. This is the prophetic book. Revelation 4 and verse number 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created, what's again the next words? All things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. Now, let's do one more, and I'll wrap up, tie all this together, okay? Revelation 21 and verse number 1. Let me ask you this question. And Brother Sommerdorf talked about this verse quite a bit in the messages in revival. Let's pretend that God used evolutionary processes, and let's for a moment pretend that it took millions and millions of years, okay? And so when you and I go to Washington, D.C., and we enter the Museum of Natural History or Natural Science or whichever one it is, I don't remember, and we walk in that front door and we see this tower that represents millions and millions of years, let's pretend that that's how God did it. Okay, let's pretend. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1 that God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I would compel you to think on this tonight. How can we decide or discern what the new heaven and the new earth will really be like? Is it possible that we could go somewhere else in Scripture and we could see what God's mind would be for a creative work that involved man and heaven and earth all in the same creation? Is there a place in the Bible that we could go and we could see what God's design would be if he were to make a heaven and an earth and a man and animals and all these kinds of things? Is there a place we could go? Yes, I would say to you, we can. We can go to Genesis 1 and 2. But what's the difference between this creative work for the eternity and what was created in the book of Genesis? There's no more the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because man has already made his choice. But I believe it is very, in our finite view of it, I believe it's altogether possible that we can look at the new heaven and the new earth and we can somewhat understand in our finite minds what God says a great setting would look like. And we can see that back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were created to bring glory to him. They were created in perfection. Now again, I understand that there's no more procreation. There's no more of the things that God originally said in Genesis 1 and 2 and everything like that. But in order to get an idea of the second creation, might we look at the first creation and say, well, that's what God said was beautiful. That's what he said was magnificent. Magnificent, that's what he said was good. And I would present it to you tonight, if God took millions of years and an evolutionary process the first time, oh my goodness, we have a long time to wait for the second new heaven and new earth. But if you would agree with me tonight and say, come on, Pastor, there's no way God's going to have the second new heaven and new earth take millions and millions and millions of years to be created, then I'm going to say back to you, then why would he have done that in the first place? If he can do it in a moment, in the spoken word, if he can create the new Jerusalem, if he can create all of this and just destroy the old and bring in the new without the process of evolutionary things and without the process of death upon death upon death, then why wouldn't he do it the first time? I just would challenge you tonight to think on those things. Revelation chapter 21, we clearly see that there's a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't believe for a second that it's going to take millions of years to create all of that. Now, let's wrap this up here. We have creation and the creative work of God stated, as you can see there in the first book, Genesis. It's stated in the last book, the book of Revelation. It's stated in the oldest book, the book of Job. It's stated by all these different authors. And again, I didn't exhaust the list, and we didn't go to every book of the Bible, but just kind of picking from the different sections of the Bible. But it's from multiple authors. And here's what I'm saying in this last part. In almost every section of the Bible, we find some statement about the creative work of Almighty God. And I come back to this. Let God be true and every man a liar. I believe that God made us with a direct act. I'm the product of the direct act of Almighty God, the spoken word, and God brought us into existence. And the Bible says that God cannot lie. Now, the preponderance of evidence, when you look at Genesis all the way to Revelation, and if you were to study every time, again, back to our initial statement on concordance, if you pulled up every time the concordance says creator, creation, creative, and you went just on the word made, any of those words, and you read through the Word of God, you tell me at any point where it leaves an ounce of opening for there to have been an evolutionary process. And I'm just telling you tonight, folks, it's not there. And so when there are those that would be in kind of the pop Christianity part of the world that would say, well, you know what, we just have to kowtow to the scientific world because after all, science is science and creation is faith. I'm telling you what, it takes a lot more faith to go to the zoo and to think that one day that monkey is going to be you. I mean, I've seen some pretty smart monkeys in my day. I was in Thailand, and the monkeys there in Thailand in the zoo were smart enough that they could give a response like every Thai person would give when you greet them. They can give that response. Why? Because they see you're holding a banana. And so they can give you the greeting, but I'm telling you what, not one of them talked to me. You know? I'm just telling you, you could sit at the zoo until you turn to dust, and that monkey's never going to be a human being. Because God made them monkeys. And you know what? Our great creator is a master designer. And his design is all over his creation. So just because it has two eyes and two ears and two nostrils does not mean that it eventually is going to evolve into something better. All right? Just because they throw the football and have wide receivers does not mean that one day the Redskins will win the Super Bowl. Let's just get it right, all right? Easy now. I threw that out as a little caveat for those of you. All right. I'm telling you, we're inundated by believers that do not believe the truth of Genesis 1:1. And so it's important for us to go down through this and to see the evidence that God has given to us in His holy word. And this is not just from Moses. It's all the way to John in the great book of Revelation. Christ is the Creator. Perhaps if you were really in a debate with someone that was just dead set as a believer that God used evolution, I would just challenge them once and for all from Revelation 21 and verse number 1, and I'd just say, okay, if you believe that it was the evolutionary process that brought us into existence in Genesis 1:1, how long do you think the new heaven and the new earth will take? And then close out the conversation and just say, well, I think it happened in 6 days the first time. I can see how quickly God will do it the second time. And that's God's creative work. So again, did He use any process of evolution to assist in creation? Absolutely not. It was the direct act of God that brought us into existence. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this opportunity to walk through these things. And I know it's a lot of information that we give out very quickly, but perhaps people can in their devotions just read down through these verses again and digest that this is from multiple authors down through centuries of time. From the time that Job wrote his book to the time that God gave His word to Moses and the first five books of the Bible, all the way to the very ending. And as John was looking through the tunnel of time and seeing the day in which Jesus Christ would make all things new, what an incredible testimony that we have from our great God. And I pray that tonight it's been a help. Perhaps there are some tonight that didn't know that the Bible's divided up into sections, and so this would cause them to learn even more about Your Word and to study out the Gospels and the book of Acts and to see how they refer to their great Creator. I pray it's been a help to folks tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so very much for being here tonight. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Regular services this coming Sunday, and a lot happening over the next several weeks. Thank you, and good night.